fix it. So tonight we're going to continue in that pattern just because that's what Jesus was doing. But something unlike a lot of the other ones is he didn't really have that like praise at the beginning, like, I'm really happy that you're doing this. He kind of just came right at it with these people and said, like, hey, you guys aren't hot or cold. You're lukewarm. And I don't know. There's not too many things that I like that are lukewarm. I don't know about you. I think maybe room temperature water is about as far as I'll go just because I can drink it fast without getting brain freeze or something like that. But, you know, you go to Starbucks, you don't get, you know, lukewarm. Like, oh, I'll take that Pike Place roast, lukewarm room temperature, please. Like, you know, it's either you get the iced or you get it hot, right? You kind of go either way there. I think coffee is absolutely disgusting if it's been sitting at room temperature for a few hours, and it's just like, that's just plain nasty. And, you know, there's we could go with a bunch of examples on that, but anyways, lukewarm is kind of just gross. And even in the cooking world, I don't know if anybody have food handlers cards here, like you went through, worked at a restaurant or something like that. There's that temperature range called the danger zone. You know, if you leave food in that for too long, it actually goes bad. And, you know, I believe it was 41 to 141, but you can check me on that. But I'm pretty sure that's about what it was. You want to keep it colder than that or hotter than that, or else it goes bad. And the Lord is saying in this scripture to these people, like, I'm getting ready to spit you out of my mouth. And that was why it was so memorable to me when I read it through the Bible the first time, and I'm like, man, God spitting someone out of their mouth. Like, basically, like, this whole, like, lukewarm thing is just nauseating to him and infusing, making him want to vomit because they're neither hot nor are they cold. It's kind of like a 50% devotion to him, almost. I'm looking at it. He's not presenting an actual percentage there, but I know within the realm of a relationship, if I was to be speaking to my spouse and said, you know, hey, Ashley, I'm going to be 50% devoted to you. I mean, that's probably not going over very well, you know, if you're coming in 50%, like, I'm going to be 50% devoted to you, but also devoted to other things and whatnot. It's as far as within the realm of a relationship, that's not going to work out very good. But looking at it, we are the bride of Christ, as the Bible portrays it, and Jesus is coming back for a spotless bride, and amen. So I want to look at a few things too, because Jesus right here, which is really interesting about Laodicea, some of you who like interesting facts like myself, I would like to give you a few interesting facts. It's located in a valley, Laodicea, and it has some, which means it has kind of some higher elevation on this side and on that side. To the north, not too far, they are known for having hot springs. There's hot springs there, kind of like we got here. There's the, I don't know if you've ever been out hiking or been to the Sawduck ones, but they have hot springs over in this location just to the north of them. Just to the southeast, you actually have an area known for having really cold water, and they're right in the middle. So this city actually built aqueducts to get the water from certain areas down to their city, because in this valley, water didn't come easy. It wasn't something they kind of were able to access very well. But by the time the water got there, if it was really hot and it traveled for a while, what do you think the temperature was like when it actually got there? Lukewarm. Vice versa, really cold, coming the other way, lukewarm, right? Isn't it? It's so interesting how Jesus speaks in a language that these people fully understand, and it's to their culture to a T. And there's so many times in Scripture how Jesus speaks to people, right, how they'll understand it too, whether it be via parable or however. But Jesus speaks right to a way that people are going to understand. I had no idea that that was even the case until we got in and did some studying on this. And I'm like, wow. The Lord was really saying a lot there and speaking in a way that they're going to understand. And they've you know, become accustomed to this, of drinking this lukewarm water. That's just kind of, it's kind of what they did for a while, and you get used to it after a while. But this church here, their problem was that they're lukewarm, but we're going to say that they were relaxed. And Jesus paralleled the situation with their water to their faith and how their faith was in these moments. And here's the really sad thing, is in verse 17, the people didn't even see it. I don't know if you caught that when we read through, but we're going to go back through a little bit. It says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing, you know, just right there, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. These people were in deception, they were deceived, basically. And the funny thing about deception is you don't realize it when you're there because you're deceived, right? And that's a scary thing. So as we get into this word tonight, I want you to invite you to open up your heart and say, God, like, just take a look under the hood. See what's going on tonight within me. Be open for an encounter with God tonight. Be open for him to come. He doesn't want to leave you just how you were. And these people right here, they were very relaxed, very nonchalant. Their culture there in Laodicea, they were one of the richest of the seven churches. They had a textile industry. They had all kinds of things going for them. They had banks, which, I mean, that was a long time ago. And they got this banking thing going on. They have medical schools all in this area. And they felt that, you know, that their prosperity in the world, they got it really confused with their prosperity spiritually. And that's something to not get twisted sometimes. Like, oh, I'm financially doing really well, doesn't always mean that spiritually you're doing really well, right? Sometimes it can feel like that, and it's easier to say amen when the bank account's full or they're half full or more than we wanted, or not more than we wanted, more than we expected, or something like that. It's way easier to say amen in those kind of things, but it's an easy trick that people can fall into of just kind of confusing the two things there. And I want to read 2 Corinthians. I don't have this on the screen, but it's 13:5 if you are taking notes. And what it says is, examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Isn't that an interesting thought? Because, I mean, these people, they were a church. They proclaimed Jesus. Like, you know, Jesus said at the very beginning, I see your works. I see what you're doing. He didn't really have much good to say about that, but he saw what they were doing and the condition of their heart, that they were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. But what was said here is to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. When we take communion, a lot of times, what does it say? Scripture says, examine yourself, right? Take a look. Take a look at what's going on under there. Take a look and see what's going on in your heart. And what was said here is that examine yourself to see if you are even in the faith still. That's crazy to me a little bit. I mean, it's scripture and it's good. But I love this about Jesus is much like with all the other churches, all the other six, he didn't just leave them in their problem. He had a solution, right? So we call this the prescription. And what the prescription is restoration. Jesus wanted to restore their relationship to him. Some of the other churches we saw it like, hey, you started out really well. You started out really good. You were doing all these things at the beginning, and then you kind of fell off. And I wish you were doing the things that you were originally doing in your faith when you were all excited and when you were hyped up and you were going out and just spreading the word like this, like peanut butter on a sandwich. And like, but he didn't say that. That's the international version. But, you know, like, I wish you were doing those things you did at first, but you stopped. And in every single one of these churches, it was so amazing to see that Jesus didn't leave them right where they were at. He said, okay, here's the solution. Commonly, that was repentance of something, whether it be false doctrines that we saw, whether it be, you know, they just, you know, their culture was kind of mixed with the world, or whether, you know, they were just outright in sin, whether they had Jezebel in their mix and they were allowing it. We saw all types of different scenarios of people's issues that the church, we are the church too, and I think it's amazing that he has this plan for restoration. It says right here in verse 18, some of this might take you back if you've been a Christian for a little while to the 90s. I think Brian Dirksen had a song about like light the fire again. And in verse 18, it says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. So Jesus is basically wanting to make a transaction with these people. And these people felt like they were rich. They felt like, we really have something going for us. We're living in prosperity, and you know, we don't feel like we really need nothing. But Jesus is saying, like, right to their heart, like, this is your real situation. you know, you feel like all your security is in those things, but your security is not in me. But he's wanting to make a transaction with these people. And what they had, you know, it wasn't with money, the transaction either. It was a spiritual transaction. I'm going to take this condition of your heart and replace it with something beautiful, something amazing. I'm going to take your worst and give you my best right here. So Jesus, he says first to buy gold from me. Now, what I see here is that he's just kind of saying basically that, and it says the refined in the fire kind of gold, like that long-lasting gold, that stuff that it burned off all the other stuff, and the pure gold, like the true riches are in him, not the riches that they're holding to over here and the security system that they're living in. But Jesus is saying to these people to come and have your security, come have your true riches in me. Now, the second part was to buy white garments to cover their shame and their nakedness, right? They didn't realize they had it. But in this area, actually, what they wore was a black, kind of shiny goat fur, basically. Goat wool. Thank you for hanging out there for a second. Goat wool. So that's actually what they wore. They would wear black and it was goat wool in that area, but Jesus was saying, like, hey, I'm going to come by the white garments that I have for you to cover up what's really there, to cover up your shame, to cover up your nakedness. Come and get these white garments spotless. Isn't that amazing? Also to buy ointment for your eyes, meaning these people were spiritually blind. We saw that. They didn't see their condition that they were in. They didn't see the severity of what was actually happening. They didn't see what was going on. They weren't examining themselves. They just felt like they were living in the land of milk and honey and things were just going good. And because they're going good naturally, they're going good spiritually also. But Jesus wanted to make this great exchange with these people. He didn't want to leave them right where they were. And tonight he doesn't want to leave you right where you are if you feel like you're in a certain spot like that as we're talking about this. Isaiah 55:1 says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. So this is kind of the transaction he's talking about. He's not saying come with your money. He's not saying come with all your possessions, but just come to me. Just come to me. Come to the source, and I'm going to provide for you. Come to me, and I'm going to take care of you. Come to me with what little you have. You don't even have to pay for it. It's free. Just come, taste, and see how good I am. Isn't that good? I love that verse right there. Now, there was this little miniature kind of a praise. I said there wasn't a praise at the beginning. This isn't like a point or anything, but there was a little bit of a praise he had for this church. And what he said was that, I love you guys. In verse 19, he's like, those whom I love, I reproof, or some of the versions are different, like I'll rebuke you, you know, the ones that I love. Any parents, you have to do that to your kids, you know, sometimes, you know, you spare the rod, you spoil the child kind of a thing, right? But, you know, he does it because he loves us. He disciplines us, and he rebukes us because he loves us, and he wants us to succeed. And, I think that was kind of a cool little praise that he put in there. And eventually he says, if you overcome, you're going to get the prize. And the prize is relationship with him. Verse 20 right there, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. That's so good. And also a little bit later down there, it says we'll sit on the throne with him. And but there's just that relationship factor. And in Matthew, it kind of talks about that a little bit, about, hey, I stand at the door and knock, kind of in reference to salvation, and if you open up the door, I'm going to come in, kind of a thing. And but here, too, it's just saying, like, hey, you know, even though you're in that spot where you're at, even though you may feel like, man, like, I'm going through a hard time right now in my faith, I'm going through a time where I feel like maybe the fire wasn't as fresh as it was when I first started following, or maybe you feel, you know, many things, just kind of bogged down by maybe concerns of the world, cares, and just overwhelmed by things around you. But what he's saying is tonight is, I'm standing at the door, and I'm knocking. If you let me come in, I'm going to eat with you, which is one of the most it's one of the most intimate things to do with people. It's like when you don't commonly eat with your enemies, right? But like you eat with your friends, you eat with your family, you eat typically with those people that you want to eat with. And so there's that relationship factor. And in a little bit, I'm gonna begin to close here pretty soon. But tonight, I want to kind of do something. I'm maybe not a little bit different, but as we've read, as we've considered these things, maybe God has kind of put something in your heart. Maybe it's something that you need to let go of. Maybe it's something that you're just kind of struggling with right now, in general. Like, and he, you know, maybe you feel like, man, I just don't have that fire. I don't have that. Maybe you feel cold. Maybe you feel lukewarm tonight. Maybe you feel like you just need a fresh touch from God tonight to get that, like his spirit comes, like in Acts 1 chapter, chapter 1, verse 8, when he says, like, when you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my witnesses in Judea, here, there, and to the ends of the earth. His spirit comes on us, and the purpose is to be his witnesses. It's not just for us to feel good about ourselves and things like that, but he does do that. He does bring his peace through that. He does bring that, like, factor to it, but he also empowers us so we can take what he's doing in us here and take it out there into our community, because there is so many people that are lost and dying. It's absolutely tragic to see the hurt. We don't always see behind people's eyes what's going on in their brain and what's going on in their heart, but if you don't have Jesus, you have a lot of hurt. If you don't know God, you don't know peace, kind of like the old bumper sticker. No God, no peace. No, with a K, God, no peace. So tonight, as we respond to this, I want to ask you a question tonight. Where has this message found you tonight? Where has this piece of scripture, where has this word found you tonight? And maybe it's even as we talked about some of the other churches, some of their struggles too. Like, we're the church. All of these churches, yes, they were talking about a specific region, but they were also talking about the hearts of man. They were talking about the hearts, the underlying issues of why people were doing certain things.